Our God and Father, we are just so thankful for who you are and what you are to every single one of us. For all that has been said, all that has been done. But above all, Father, we bring before you our hearts again. Father, we can listen to your word, and that we can change and be encouraged and challenged and inspired by who you are and what you want for our lives. Father, we know that the road is narrow, and yet we do have choices. And we do pray that through our relationships, that all of us can see on the narrow road. Difficult and challenging sometimes, as it may be. Father, we thank you so much for the fellowship. We thank you again for Ineka getting restored back to the fellowship and to you today. But above all, I pray that our hearts will remain soft. Our hearts will remain open. And Father, take away any form of pride in our lives. Any form of pride that tells us that we know what we're doing. Father, we know that we'll never have arrived until the day we die. But Father, we pray remain humble, Father, because you lift up the humble. Father, be with me as I speak today for the remaining minutes that we have in the service today. Father, thank you so much for what we have, for the youth and family ministry, for the inspiring news from all over the world, and how we as parents need to be great examples to our children. Father, as we raise up a generation of children who fear you, who know you, who love you, and are not attracted by the world. God, I want us to in our sacrifices, in our own giving. Father, we know that one day we're going to meet you and we're just going to be like you. Be like your son, Jesus. Be with us at this time, your sons and my prayer. Amen. Well, amen. We've had a full service today. It's been a good service. And, I've got a thank you card here from Ostina. How many of us met Ostina? Ostina was, visiting from the, is it Church of Lagos or Warri? Lagos. Yeah, she was here, had a baby, and she was with us just for a short time. Had a baby, and I was able to go and do the baby blessing. But she sends a thank you card to every single one of us. And it just reads, it says, I really want to say a big thank you for your love, for your warmth and affection. You have all shown to me and my family. You have all shown to me and my family. I appreciate being part of this wonderful family of believers. You are an epitome of true love. May God bless your hearts. Amen. Thanks so much for all the gifts. Lots of love. Ostina Okeowo to the Southeast London Church of Christ, you know. And so that's the couple. It's always good, you know, when you get that, she was really inspired. Her heart was really, really touched. By that in every way possible. And amen. You know, Ineka, great to have you back. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That is what life is all about. That's the heart of Jesus. And we all know that God is going to use you in powerful ways. And we just know that you are going to do great. Absolutely. You know, when our hearts remain humble, we all do great things before God. And I know that you know, different brothers who shared, I think humility is definitely a key one. In every way possible, I appreciated just as Sonny's openness right there. It's not really who disciples us or who we get together with, you understand? Our hearts have got to remain humble, you understand? If I count the number of people I've been discipled by, it's a long list. But I praise God for that. Because who am I, you understand? Who am I, you understand? When I start to pick and choose, I feel, hey, you know, because the Bible says God opposes the proud. God opposes the proud. He does. And I think our hearts, you know, have always got to be there. Title of our message today, from 1 Peter chapter 3, on marriage, and I think just as Peter talks about to wives and husbands, title of our message, Wedlock or Deadlock? Now, you might be thinking, well, this is just a message for the husbands and wives. I'm sure it relates to every single one of us. Because we all, you know, one day, do you understand, we've seen it all around us. And I think, you know, as a fellowship, when we see the standards, we can help people around us. Because for most of us here this morning, we know somebody who is married. Isn't that right? We've come from a dysfunctional, some of us have come from families where, you know, you look at the marriages and kind of think, whoa, whoa, something to be desired. Isn't that right? But we need those reminders. We need those reminders. And I think, you know, as we look at 1 Peter 3, one thing I do want to say that, you know, we've got to look at this section here in relation to the other sections. Because it talks about the whole idea of, you know, the whole idea of being in submission to God. Then he talks about the authorities. And he talks about 1825, as Phil preached last week, to what? To masters. And then towards the end of 1 Peter 2, in verse 21, he talks about Jesus and his own submission. When they hurled the insults at him, he did not retaliate. And then he goes on in verse 1, all right? In 1 Peter chapter 3, look at how he started off. It says, wives, in the same way. What is he talking about? The previous verses that have just been read. Be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. Now, one quick thing I do want to say right here. Back in those days, most of the women in society were becoming Christians faster than their husbands. And some of these women right here, you know, they were at the lower rung. You know, they were treated like as slaves. I mean, the Pharisees had such a disgusting attitude towards women that Jesus, when you look at the ministry of Jesus, who are his main counterparts and carers? Women. And I appreciate just that within the culture of that day, he stepped out and was kind of showing us this is the way it's done. And I know that maybe some of us brothers right here, we love that part of the way it says, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands. But really, Ephesians 5, I think verse 21 says, we've got to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So brothers, before we put the hairs on our chest today, I've got a message for you also. Amen. Do you understand? So it's for all of us here today. Amen. So as I preach this message today, I'm preaching it to myself. Amen. So it goes on right there. It says, so if they do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornments, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold, jewelry, and fine clothes. Now, can I just say something here, guys? There are some people from a background which who I call rigorous heretics, who say women should not wear makeup, who say women should not have braided hair. They have taken it too far. That is not what the scriptures are saying. Our wives have got to look beautiful. Isn't that right? But what he's saying right here, women have got to focus on the hearts rather than focusing on what is on the outside. I'm going to talk about that, you know. But, you know, you see some places, I've seen religious organizations where women look dour, they wear the scarf, you understand, no makeup on. I'm kind of thinking, man alive, I feel sorry for you. If only you know what the scriptures were saying. Amen. So, amen. People's choice, people's consciences, but I'm just throwing that out there. Amen. Is that okay? Throwing that out there. Very, very important. Amen. So I'm not going to go any further because many years ago, I preached a message and I spoke about women's makeup. I went to the extremes and offended the sister. So that is it for today. Amen. Let's just stick to the scriptures right here. It says, instead, in verse 4, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of greater worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her what? Her daughters, if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. I think fear is a very important thing here. And then, you know, it goes on in verse 7, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. You know, as I was reading that, I felt very, very challenged by that. We were in Miami, and I remember the very words when John Cosey got up there to preach, and he says, you know, one day I was trying to open the pickle jar. He says, my hands are very small, and his wife is a weight instructor. She's a kind of an aerobics instructor. And he was there fighting with the pickle jar because of his small hands. And the wife, because she works out, has firmer hands. And he was there struggling with it. And Emma was saying, can I help you? And he was there still struggling with the jar. And all of a sudden, he just said, I just gave it to my wife. And then in one go, she opened it up. And then she made a comment. If you cannot get help from your wife, you can't get help from God. Because God has made our wives as our helpers. In the same way, you know, brothers and sisters, we have a great opportunity today for our witness through marriage. The world is looking for good marriages, isn't that right? The world today is, you know, we've got to become a light in our marriages. You know, in our society, you see dysfunctional families. Those who remain together despite significant problems and those who split apart. Our society has become a norm in our society today. You know, when I was growing up, it's, are you married? Are you single? Isn't that right? Or are you a spinster or widowed? One of those words. Nowadays, there's another category. Do you cohabit together? It's become an accepted norm, but not an accepted norm by the words of the scriptures. And we've got to be fighting that. Now, brothers and sisters, even though we are saved, God's Spirit has been put within us when we got baptized. It's no guarantee that we'll have a great marriage. We've got to work at it. And we've really got to be humble. And I think, you know, one thing that you're going to hear me say, don't focus on your rights. Focus on your roles. What has God called you to be as a husband? What has God called you to be as a wife? Oh, brother, I'm speaking to myself first. If you are trying to fix your wife, you are in trouble. Oh, wife, this morning. Oh, sister, if you are trying to fix your husband, you are going to hit a brick wall. Let God fix our hearts. Let us focus on our roles and our roles alone. Am I saying don't bring things up? Yes, you can. But if your duty is, man, I am going to change my husband. I'm going to change my wife. Hey, sunbeam. It ain't going to work. Are you all with me today? There's silence in the room here. I guess I'm making a point here. Ooh. Oh, guys, I feel convicted even preaching this message. I feel convicted. Well, you know, while no marriage is perfect, it is a place where it can be demonstrated that God's commands work if one obeys God's will. Marriage is for all. Isn't that right? But marriages that work are marriages based on the scriptures. Martin Luther said, the devil cannot bear to see married people agree well with each other. Satan gets upset when marriages are agreeing together. It's Satan. Satan doesn't like unity in any shape or form. The world we live in today, brothers and sisters, desperately needs hope. Isn't that right? And Christian marriage can offer that hope. You understand? And I think today I just want to talk about two quick points here. Submission opens the eyes. You know, back in those days, actually the text here in 1 Peter 3 is talking about wives who are married to unsaved men. Men who were not baptized disciples. Now, even though the text is written to them, there are still principles that we can take away for every single one of us. So I wanted to mention that first so that, I don't go on the verge, because that was something that was happening in society today. Now, when you look at the first six verses, it's all focused on the wives. And there's only one for the husbands. I wish Peter had reversed it. Is it because the wives are more sinful? No. But because of the difficult situation wives were in back then. These women, do you understand, who depended completely on their husbands for the necessities of life. And much pagan thought carried this, that their legal position in life was very little different from that of a slave. And so, hey, Peter is here encouraging the wives, you understand? Man, it's not so much putting out your chest and, you know, getting in there by your behavior. Submission opens the eyes. Isn't it great when you have a marriage where people are focusing on their roles, when the wife is submissive, and even if the husband is hard-hearted, it softens the hearts, doesn't it? Now, brothers, I know some of us are, and brothers, you know, if you're thinking, amen, brother, preacher, you need to repent. Christian wives married to non-Christian husbands made the situation very, very difficult. You know what? Let me just say something right here. You know, submission, as we talk about it right here, in the world that we live in today, has become a dirty word. People are preaching women's lib. Oh. Feminism. Equal rights. Now, in the eyes of God, we all have the same value. You know what I'm saying? God has just ordered this so that they can. So, you know, when you're at work, you have a boss. Isn't that right? That's order. But you can't have two bosses in the same house where in the morning you want to wear you're putting your leg in the left foot of the trouser and your wife says, I'm sharing that trouser with you. I want to put my right leg in it. That's not going to work. The trouser is going to tear. So, amen. You get my analogy right here, illustration. Well, you know what? You know what I'm saying? So, let's focus on our roles. You understand? People are out there talking about women making salaries. For me personally, amen. If they know the job, if they can do the job, pay them. But we live in such a male-dominated, chauvinistic society that they think they are better than women. No, we're talking about what does God say according to the scriptures. To live in harmony with each other and to have great marriage. So, submission, brothers and sisters, or to the sisters, isn't a reward for the husband's good behavior. Because even if the husband, you understand, say, whoa, when he's good, I'll submit. Don't work that way. Doesn't work that way. Oh, the heart. Oh, and it's challenging. It is challenging. It is commanded by God. As for the man, in terms of the proper order of the home, hey, wives, that is the role God has given you. He could have given it to the man at the beginning. Isn't that right? But God just says, okay, Adam came first. He took out a bone from Adam's side and he called her, whoa, man. Would have, do you understand? Do you understand? Well, that's how God ordered it. So, brothers and sisters, you know, sisters right here, talk to God. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes we look to our husbands and we've got to look beyond your husbands. You are a daughter of God. You are a child of God. And sometimes we use our husbands as an obstacle. Hey, look to God. God is bigger. Look to God. Please today, look to God. And let's see the homes being what it needs to be. You know, the call is to be submissive. But what does it mean to be submissive? And sometimes it's hard to define. It is not pretending you have no opinion. We all need to have opinions. You understand? Or that one's husband is always right or superior. No. We should be pitied more than men if we shut our wives down. It is not being a doormat, being invisible or being silent. I've lived in cultures where I'm from. And I've seen that, and growing up, I appreciate, my dad wasn't a disciple. But one thing I appreciated, yeah, he had his own moments, you understand? But I love the way he treated my mom, because sometimes, you know, cultures, if my dad's friends were there, you understand, my mom would be there sitting there having the chats with his friends. But sometimes you see cultures where, you know, the man is sitting down there, the friends are there. Even if you're having a private chat, that's okay. Where the wife comes in and then she comes in, she curtsies, puts the food down there, and then she runs out. And I'm kind of thinking, you're equals. You understand what I'm saying? Or sometimes you see the wife, husband comes back from work, you understand? Wife puts the food on the table, master, thank you, but no conversation. And then she's out again. The microphone didn't like that point, but I'm going to put it back. Didn't like that point. But you're going to like it. But that is the role God has given wives. Amen, sisters? Amen. You know, from the beginning, Genesis 3:16, because of what happened, Bible says Adam was there, and, Eve was there, you know. But, you know, we don't want to be defining submission from the negatives. Submission is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing, sisters. It is beautiful. You know, if we are not being submissive, we are not helping our non-believing husbands, or even our husbands who are disciples. Because we don't want to cause each other to stumble. And you know, sisters, if in your household, I say this humbly, if you are trying to wear the trousers in your household, man, you are. I don't know, you know, you've really got to say, I've got to change this because this is not what God wants for my life. They've got to see our purity. Our husbands have got to see our reverence. They've got to see your inner beauty, sisters. They've got to see your trust in God. And I just want to spend just a short time here talking to the wives. Now, first thing right here, so that they can see your purity. None of us, you know, a deadlock is my rights, your rights. Isn't that right? When we are fighting for our rights, the marriage remains in deadlock. Because nobody wants to give way. But let me tell you something. When the roles are practiced, now we're talking about wedlock. Isn't that right? Beautiful. You're all fitting together. Now, guys, does it always work out like that? Because we are sinful people. Because we are sinful people. You know, when it talks about purity right here, it says right here, okay, in verse 1 and 2, it says, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Not purity in the sense of, okay, marital infidelity. Although that would be included, but it's talking about in the general sense of living a lifestyle of purity. Living a lifestyle, do you understand, where they see the purity of your heart. I want to be humble, do you understand? You know, when we get up here to confess our sins, it's because we want our hearts to be pure. Isn't that right? A lifestyle of purity, a lifestyle of humility. You know, if the husband is feeling disrespected, he will never be able to see the positive purity of a Christian wife's life. Same thing goes for a Christian husband, where, you know, where we get in there, you know, where we get defensive, do you understand? I have worked for some female bosses who had sharp tongues. They've got to see the positive part of our lives. And I think sisters, this is a point about integrity, our hearts, that we practice what we preach. Submission opens the eyes. And no matter how hard a man may be, whether he's a non-Christian or a disciple, his heart will melt. Why? Because you're submitting not to him, you're submitting to God. Because God has given the command. Do you understand? And I think, guys, you know, we've got to fight to avoid sin in our relationships, keep our word, that we can be relied on for honesty and humility. You know, sisters, can your husband trust you? Can your husband trust you? You know, God wants us to have hearts that are reverent towards him. You know, right here, you know, it says in the scriptures here, Sarah who didn't give in to fear. Because sometimes, guys, you feel like you're in a corner. Isn't that right? Oh, Abraham. Sarah was very beautiful. Isn't that right? That two kings wanted to marry her. And one of the kings, Abraham, said, she's my sister. Oh, man. Could you imagine that? And we'd both outside in a group. Somebody wants to make a pass. I'd rather me say, that's my wife. You don't touch her. And I say, you know what? She's my sister. Oh, dear. But you know what? Sarah did not give in to fear. Because we fear God, we live differently. God will always work things out. Secondly, so that they can see your beauty. You know, like I said before, sometimes, you know, and I appreciate my wife as she raises our daughter, as I hear the conversations that are going on, just about the whole idea, put more effort on looking after the inside than the outside. You've got to build the inside. I'm not saying don't build the outside. I don't say not look good. But put more effort looking after the inside. Glamour is artificial and external. True beauty is real and eternal. Charm is deceptive. Beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. The heart. The heart, guys. It's all about the heart. It's all about the heart. You know, sisters, what are the safeguards you've put in place in terms of looking after the beauty of your heart? What safeguards have you put in place? Well, you know, whether it's with single brothers, isn't that right? Because we are thinking wiser, but even single sisters I'm talking to right now, our hearts. Ours attracted, you know, to Bola because of our hearts. I saw Bola in Boston. Man, there was a hurricane. I'm talking about 1985. We lived on the same street in Nigeria. Hadn't seen each other. Bola got baptized in Clemson after she got there in February. I got baptized 5 years later. Maybe that was where my heart was, you know, in Chicago. The Lord had pity on me. But man, I got to that conference, man. I said, amen, this is great. We went our separate ways. Immediately Bola landed in London, I said, amen, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I arranged every date that the brothers who are going to go on a date with her, I engineered it. Yeah, I did. Hey, brothers, single brothers, if you want something, don't dilly-dally around, go for it. That's a challenge for the brothers. Come on, man. talking about.
We're sitting down there. We can't make up our mind. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Man, you see a beautiful heart, you go for it. Or you get old. Amen. Just a quick word right there. That's why I didn't say that. Oh, man. I'm going for it today. God is concerned about values, not prices. You know what? If you're putting on all of the outward adornment to win a man over, you better have the money to keep up that high maintenance over that stuff on the outside. Do you understand? But if you work on the heart free of charge, as you age, you get more beautiful. And beautiful. And you can say, amen to that. Amen. Wow, I'm hearing the amens today. You know, sisters, do you have close friends in the church with whom you can share honestly about how you are really doing? I appreciate our relationship, Bola and I, because I tell you, man, a lot of times, you know, 9 out of 10 times we get together for a discipling time, my heart needs to get discipled. And my wife, I appreciate, you know, the wife I'm married to, I appreciate you because my wife will not let me get away with being an unspiritual husband. She will raise the flag. She will raise the flag. And I like that. No. Sometimes I don't like it. You know, just say. Amen. Oh, dear. You know, how about the discipling times going? Who are you open with? Are we talking about the weather, the job, the kids? I'm not talking about the real issues of the hearts. A good heart talk time should be confession, isn't that right? Weakness, fears, sin, or something, or some troubling issue. That should be a good talk time, isn't that right? How we feel about things and asking for help. That's a good talk time. You know, you know, when you're around, you know, and I want to talk to the wives because we want to have spiritual marriages. Heard a story of a gentleman I knew very well. The guy was involved with another woman. The wife knew and didn't turn the husband in. Oh, yes. And it was going on for such a long time in our fellowship. Not here. Went on for a long time. Do you understand? That the wife kept it to herself and said, well, I didn't want to expose my husband. I say in my mind, oh, you unspiritual wife. Now, what happened? He's gone away with the other woman. Marriage dissolved. But you see the other side of a spiritual wife. That you hear stories like this. My husband is focusing too much on work, getting home late, and she's waving the flag. Guys, help my husband. Because he's focusing so much on work, not getting time with the kids, and he's not having good quiet times. Oh man, I'm thinking, oh yeah, that's a good wife right there. How many of us sisters do you raise the red flag when you see your husband's not having good quiet times? Not having good Bible study? Do you just keep it quiet? No. I expect my wife to do that. Mohan, brothers, my husband, he, being a minister, he's not doing well in this area. Look at the way he's with the kids, not having good quiet times. Raise the red flag. Raise the flag, turn me in, because I want to make it to heaven. Am I making sense this morning, brothers and sisters? Amen. Brothers, if you're a man in the church, thinking of getting married, it is important to look for a woman who looks after her heart more than her appearance. The heart grows more beautiful over the years. For a person concerned for their spirituality, but the body decays. Guys, I tell you, man, I look at our church here. Isn't that right? We have got some awesome sisters in our church. Absolutely. That, you know, when these male visitors come in and look at you and said, wow, great church. Watch it. Get baptized. Get to be a disciple. So, misbehave right here. We are gatekeepers. We take care of our sisters. But pity the brother who sees someone with a gray heart and just says, ah, no, we got great sisters and brothers. It's the heart. It is the heart. Have I said it already? You see a sister with a good heart, go after it. There are many out there. Amen? Amen, single brothers? I apologize. I'm just encouraging people today. That's all I'm doing. Been a while since I've had some wedding cake, but that's okay. That's not the goal. Another area, so that they can see your spirituality. Submission opens the eyes. It opens the eyes. Isn't that right? It opens the eyes to see your purity, to see your beauty, and finally, so that they can see your spirituality. You know what, guys? If a Christian wife is submissive to her husband, they will be seen as pure, reverent towards God, beautiful of heart, and essentially spiritual, and it becomes a win-win situation. A Christian wife is one who has placed her hope in God. In other words, she depends on God and trusts Him. You know, wives, as a husband sees us, is that what it looks like to our husbands? That my wife is putting her hope and trust in God. You know, Sarah was definitely a great and great example. And I know fear is definitely a very big issue for both Christian and non-Christian husbands, you know, in terms of wife, for many wives. But I really pray that today you can really have a sense of hope and joy in your heart that it's all about God. You know what I'm saying? That it's all about God. It's all about looking to God, and God will take care of you. I'm not excluding the husbands. You know what I'm saying? And that doesn't excuse us from being what we need to be to God in every way possible. So point number one, submission opens the eyes. And I hope that I've encouraged sister with some of these points. Point number two, respect encourages wives. Respect encourages wives. Husbands, I'm talking to you. And right here, it's kind of bearing in mind, you know, thinking that in the culture of the day that there were men, you know, who were married to Christian wives. And I think that is very, very important in terms of the way that we live with our wives. You know, back then, when a woman married into a family, she had to follow the religion of her husband. That's who he was back in those days. You know, let me talk about being considerate. Husbands are to act lovingly towards their wives. I'm sure we know this. You know, there is no room for the unfeeling dictator. You know, sometimes we can feel, well, I am the man, so what I say goes. You know what? You know, recently I found myself getting very, very defensive and prideful towards my wife. And we've been having ministry meetings at our home on a Friday. And last Friday we had one. I got prideful. And the words that came out of my mouth is, are you telling me what to do? And then last Friday it happened again. What was it again? Last Friday, this Friday, this meeting again. Not good. Because my heart was full of pride. So I'm walking around kind of thinking, man, this is not good. And we still need to talk. But I sent a text. I said, hi, sweetheart. Do you want to apologize for my prideful attitude this morning? I would love to chat some more about this. Love talks. I wanted to open that door and not get defensive, because I feel I was in a place where it was getting repetitive and the attitude wasn't changing. And I said, you know what? I've really got to change. Not about my rights, it's about my role. Am I being considerate to my wife? You know, asking questions, listening. You know, I praise God because our wives are there to complete us. And when you look at your wife, they bring strengths to the table that, left alone, you would just be a dog. It's true. Absolutely. We've got to praise God for our wives. We would just be a dog. Absolutely. They take off some of those edges. Man, I will say something one way, my wife gets in there, she says it, and I'm thinking, well, she said it better than me. Wow. I need to learn from that. No, it's true. There is something there, you know, rough and rough, and you want to lay things out. And I was saying, I don't lay that. You don't have that. Oh, man. Asking questions. Amen. Amen. Asking questions and listening. Paying attention to our wives, not assuming we know. And this is something I've really got to change, brothers and sisters. Someone once said that it was the duty of every husband to study their wife. not like a GCSE project, but like a work of arts. Like a work of arts. Look at what, you know, what are her needs? What does she need? How can I encourage her? We got to fight because I think, you know, brothers, you know, when we are courting our wives, we put out the red carpets. Red carpets. Nice days. And then we get married and that hardly happens. Not even an ice cream. Ice cream cone. And it's not just once a year when there's a marriage retreat. Or Valentine's. I hear wives coughing. I just hear all kinds of sounds. You know what, brothers, you know, as we study our wives and their needs, it's going to produce in us a sense of wonder. Wonder that our wives could marry us, undeserving as we are. Wonder the complexity, because women are, you know, as the book says by John, what was the guy's name? John Gray. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. We've got to keep on learning. Got to keep on learning, guys. The wonder, the beauty God has made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. And, you know, there are times, you know, when my wife is sleeping, I just think, man, I'm blown it again today. Then I pray. And I just says, guys, brothers, let's bring the best out of our wives and not be a stumbling block. We've got to be respectful. You know, our wives definitely deserve respect. But what does it mean when the Bible says they are weaker? Is Peter talking about being physically, intellectually, or morally weak? He's talking about positional weakness. That we don't lord it over them. Because God has arranged it, he doesn't say, well, now that you're submissive, I can treat you any way, how I want. No. God is saying, don't take advantage. Instead, give full respect to your wife. What does that mean? Ask them. Ask them. Am I disrespecting you? In what ways am I showing disrespect? Ask. And I know sometimes, guys, as you know, as we ask them, just pray, hear it, and be humble. I twitch, guys. I've got to be honest. My heart. When my wife is bringing things, my heart is kind of thinking, okay, Lord, just prepare my heart that I don't get defensive. Do you understand? I say, no. My heart goes there. Do you understand? I'm sitting down there thinking, man. Sometimes even before the conversation is finished, I'm standing up and thinking, man, okay, can I take it? Guys, we got to take it. We have to. We got to take it, guys. Show her respect so that she will not feel weaker but stronger. You know, the scripture says here, that we are joint heirs. The implication is Christian marriage, there is an equality of value in Christian marriage, even though God has ordered it. God does not place a greater value on men or women. There is no distinction between men and women in the scriptures when it comes to salvation. And one of the most beautiful things in marriage, it models the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In that relationship, there is no competition. We compete when we start to focus on our rights. But it works when we focus on our roles. All of us, we've got distinct yet unified roles. And yet there is a mutual concern of working together. I've got to round this up. Lastly, you've got to be connected. One thing I do want to say about being connected here, 7C right here, which really convicted me, is, you know, brothers, the Bible says right here in verse 7, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers. The word hindered literally means cut off. Your prayers will be cut off if you're not considerate to your wife. Treat your wife badly and your access to God is cut off. When I read that this one, I said, man, I've got to repent right here. It's a pretty serious reason to take these commands seriously. A lot of times, I want to blame my wife. You know, a lot of times, you know, I will leave the key somewhere. And my wife wants to keep the house tidy. Shoes left somewhere. My wife picks it up. Keys left, books left here. I wanted to pick it up at my own time. And then when I can't find it, I'm blaming my wife. I'm saying, where did you put it? That's not good. I don't want my prayers to be hindered, brothers. We don't want our prayers to be hindered. You know, brothers, we've got to be looking in the mirror every single day. And we've got to be treating our wives as the daughter of God that God wants us to take care of. And the privilege to be married. I'm grateful my wife said yes. I'm grateful I'm married to her. I see the benefits. I see her as a, you know, great wife, great friend. I see her with the kids, and I'm kind of thinking, I am so proud of the wife I have married. Brothers, I hope you feel that way towards your wife this morning. And if you don't feel that way, there's some discipline that needs to come your way. You know, as I close out today, submission opens the eyes. I pray today that God, in the lives of our wives, sisters, that your purity, your beauty, and your spirituality will be seen by your husbands. And brothers, I really pray, as we talk about reverence, that our wives, that we need to respect and encourage the wives, that they will definitely see us respecting them, being considerate to them in every way possible. You know, submission in our world today is a dirty word. Not politically correct, but in the church, it has its right place because of God. You know, just to kind of finish up right here, there's a guy, Tevye, in Fiddler of the Roof. Many of us know Fiddler of the Roof or read the book or something like that, seen the play. And he wrote a saying right here, just to close out, if you insist on an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, you'll both end up blind and toothless. And I don't know whether that's where some of our marriages are at. That we're fighting and fighting and fighting. Hey, you get my eye, I'm going to repay you back. You do this, I'm going to do this back. You end up blind and toothless. Don't look for your rights, brothers and sisters. Look for your roles. And to God be the glory. Amen.